We've talked a lot about the situation in Europe and what they're. Well, you know, whenever we talk about this, right, I always say the aspirational goals, the ambition gets ahead of reality. And we're seeing it play out right now when it comes to energy in Europe, because they had all these plans and all these goals and all these things that they wanted to do. And then the situation with Ukraine happened, and now they're in a real spot because much of the energy for Europe, specifically Germany, we're going to talk about here, comes from Russia. So, okay, you're basically paying to fund the war in Russia, and you don't really have much of a choice. And we've talked a lot about what that means. So we're going to chat now with Greg McLean, who is the Member of Parliament for Calgary Centre and the Conservative Shadow Minister for Natural Resources. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me, Shane. Good to be here.
Yeah, now your background on this is really kind of interesting, because a little over a year ago, you actually met with Germany's ambassador to Canada to talk about this very possible situation, right?
That's exactly right. There's a few items that prompted the meeting I had with Her Excellency Sabine Sparwasser on this. And it was interesting because there was an indication that they were trying to get some green hydrogen from Canada, and also that they were under some commitment to look at LNG exports from Canada. So I wanted to explore with her what that meant, but I also wanted to talk to her about getting LNG offshore Canada, you know, some more commitments to that, but also talk about how much they were going to be taking from Russia if they were going to continue to move forward with Nord Stream 2. Now, you recall Nord Stream 2 is a doubling of Nord Stream 1, mm-hmm. which would have put them even twice as much in the hands of Russia at this point in time for dependency on their gas. And that, I was warning her at the time, would be a difficult situation if Russia ever decided to turn off the taps. So being entirely dependent on one country for most of your energy supply is a recipe for disaster.
What was the response? I mean, obviously they had to be aware of it at some level, that it was a risky proposition. What did she say?
She, first of all, you've got to recognize that an ambassador is really just an agent of their government. So she wasn't forthcoming, frankly, about what the solutions would be or what the end outcome would be. But, you know, the point was made back and forth about where they were going to get their energy. Look at her position. Look at Germany's position on this, if you will. And as far as you contrast getting natural gas from Russia with getting natural gas from Canada, it costs about twice as much to get it from Canada, at least, because you've got to liquefy it and then transport it and then gasify it at the other end. That's a big process, but that's the price of energy security at the end of the day. You've got to diversify your source of your most important energy inputs for your economy. So there's a cost to energy security one way or another. And if you're going to be, like, say, at that point in time, 80% in the hands of Russia for your natural gas supply, let alone the rest of your supply, including coal, oil, and electricity coming through that country, you've got a problem. And if we had that problem in Canada, we'd be addressing it with some of our energy options, because we have a lot of energy options in Canada, not just for Canada, but for the rest of the world.
But they have a program that they're following, and, you know, like a lot of countries are, it's the goal to move off of fossil fuels and to green energy. That's part of this as well, not just the cost, right? I mean, there's also the plan that they're working off.
Yeah, the plan is an expensive plan. You take a look at the costs of energy in Germany and the reliability of energy in Germany. And one thing we pointed out very clearly in the piece I wrote is that there are points in time in the energy supply matrix in Germany where alternative energies, and we'll call alternatives here solar and wind, supply less than 2% of the required energy. And that's important because energy is a system that has to be on all the time. So if you're supplying 2%, then 98% is coming from some other power sources at that point. And that means, call it hydro, which is a little bit in Germany, but primarily coal, natural gas, and used to be nuclear. Now, nuclear, of course, is what they're trying to do away with in Germany more than anything else. Well, France is doubling down on nuclear. So you've got a bit of a disconnect on where Europe's going on energy. Those are national decisions and not just European decisions. But that's it's not different from Alberta. If you think about Alberta, there's points in time, and you think about our energy capacity in Alberta, it's about 17% wind and hydro. And yet on a cold winter day in Alberta, at 70% capacity produces much less than 1% of the power required to fuel our factories, to heat our homes, to light our homes. We've got to heat and light our economy in Alberta with traditional sources at those points in time when our alternative sources are not producing the power required for society. Germany's no different. And that's why at times it's less than 2%, and you've got to have that base load, we call it, to continue to provide energy for the economy.
Now, nobody has a crystal ball here, and I'm not seeing this as a told-you-so situation, but really, the worst-case scenario that we'd warned about, that's basically the situation that Germany finds themselves in now. I mean, that's the entire issue, is they're beholden to Russia at this point then.
Yeah, energy security is nothing new. Energy security for countries has been around for a long time. So ignoring this situation that was on the horizon all the time, Russia had already annexed Crimea. Russia was continuing conflicts in the eastern part of Ukraine. This was an escalation. This current war we're in, where Russia is taking over Ukraine, is an escalation of what they've been dealing with for quite some time in Europe at this point. And Ukraine is on the brink of survival here. They're fighting for their very lives.
Yeah.
And we should be supporting them. This is a country that wants to live in freedom, live in democracy. And you look at Germany's decisions in this respect. On the brink of that, they're continuing to double down on more supply of energy from Russia. And I think there is no value in saying, I told you so. Absolutely no value. But there is that concept of who is suffering right now because of the choices that have been made. I was over at the International Energy Agency meetings in Europe back in March, and the countries in Eastern Europe were loud about how we have to get back to a point where we're providing energy for our economies that makes sense, because this energy wind policy that Germany and much of Europe bought into in some respects hasn't been working, has more or less put them in the hands of Russia for exactly what's happening right now, which is, as we say, weaponizing energy. Although it's a new term, weaponizing energy, it is the very concept of energy security. You do not want your entire economy or your heat and light for your people dependent on one hostile foreign
party. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of things that you're talking about, the problem is we've got a time problem here, right? We've got winter looming in Europe, and I think that sort of changes the equation in a lot of ways. Like, where do we go from here? I know some other countries are saying they'll do what they can, Poland, for example. But, I mean, what's the solution today, tomorrow, next year even, Greg?
Well, the short-term solution for Europe, frankly, is what they're doing in Germany, which is getting coal back on. They've got to reverse their nuclear decision and make sure that they've got heat and light for their people. And
yeah.
For their factories over the winter. So that's what they're going to have to face. And, you know, it is a reversal of their energy wind policies, which were, frankly, aimless at the end of the day and led them to where they are today. And it was a construct. It was a political construct at the time. We have to move away from that. We have to make sure that we're able to deliver. I mean, Canada is a G7 country. One of the strengths of Canada is our ability to supply energy. And over the last 7 years, we've been unable to move any of those paths forward. And that's because of a restrictive regulatory regime where people don't want to invest in infrastructure in Canada. We talk about getting energy offshore. That's going to take some doing at this point in time. It's going to take a back step on our part on what we look at as a regulatory regime so we can get things built in Canada. And that's particularly pipelines, because people talk about the LNG we can get to coast. Well, once you have a coastal LNG facility, it's going to have natural gas getting to it. You want to talk about what doesn't get done in Canada right now is the building of pipelines and the regulatory regime around building those pipelines. So we've got to move forward and actually say we're doing something wrong here. We need to address the problems of the world by actually getting a regulatory regime that delivers energy to the world. As a powerful G7 country, which we should be, we need to address that very quickly and help our allies.
Yeah, and focus more on the actual situation that we're in, the realistic view of things. Greg, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you joining us.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me, Shane.
You bet. That is Greg McLean, who is the Member of Parliament for Calgary Centre and the Conservative Shadow Minister for Natural Resources. And I mean, when you talk about the situation around energy, I don't think there's been an example that's made it more clear recently that even if you are 110% on board with green energy and you want to see it happen ASAP, the reality is it isn't here yet in capacity to completely replace fossil fuels. Not yet. It's just not.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.